Thank you, Howard. As you were praying, I hope it'll all be over next week. We'll see. Hey, do you ever wonder what's best? You make a decision, and sometimes do you have that second, like, did I make the best decision here? You know, I think Margie thinks that when we got married. Like, was this my only choice? You know, it's like, sorry, Margie. I think we look through the wrong lens sometimes. We look through the lens of, okay, what's going to be best for my financial picture? What's going to be best for my family? What's going to be the best for my job? What's going to be the best? How do we know what the best is? We're in a series called Praying Earnestly, and it's the idea of not just throwing up some words to God, saying like, okay, God, I need a new car, I need a new job, I need a new spouse, I need new children, I need a new whatever. You know, it's earnestly praying for God to move. We spend time now during this COVID time praying earnestly, God, move. We know you're moving behind the scenes. We know that this didn't catch you by surprise, but God, we're going through depression. We're going through bitterness. We're going through anger. We're going through depression. We're going through loneliness. God, move. It's falling on our face and crying out to God in such a way that, you know, we want to move the hand of God. Paul, in the book of Philippians, says this, and I'm in Philippians chapter 1, and then I'm going to jump over to Romans, and we're going to fly through this because we still have communion today, so a lot going on. So here we go. I'm in chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 9, and Paul is praying this. He says this, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. With knowledge and discernment. I'm praying that your love is just going to just go and go and go and go and go with knowledge and discernment. How do we discern what's good? How do we discern what's right? Our decisions every single day. What is the best decision? You know, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I post this? Should I post that? You know, how do I respond when someone is attacking me for my faith or attacking my ideas? Is it going to be one of these kind of things, this fisticuffs, or are we going to embrace what God says, what Jesus showed us? And so that's why I want us to go to the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, I'm in chapter 12. And I want to look at, and I want to break down each of these verses. I'm in chapter 12, and I'm going to start in verse 9. And these are the marks of a true Christian. Now, Paul is saying, it is my prayer that love will abound. It is my prayer that love will abound, and you would have knowledge and discernment. In other words, the Spirit of God's going to help us make these decisions. Here's what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. He says this, let love be genuine. In other words, don't be fake. Don't be phony. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. There are so many of us today where we say like, oh, yeah, I love you. You know, and we really don't. You know, there's a part of us that says, like, I have to say that. Otherwise, you're going to think I hate you. It's not that I hate you. It's just I don't like you very much. You know, that kind of thing. We tend to be false. We tend to be fake. We see that on Facebook a lot, you know, where when you read someone's status, when you see someone's picture, when you see something, it's like they have the perfect life, right? And you're sitting there going through all these struggles and you're going like, why are you so dadgum happy all the time? They're really not. They're just as miserable as you are. Trust me. Okay? Let love be genuine. To really love somebody. It's easy to love those that are like us, but it's hard to love those that are different, that have different ideas, that look different, that act different, that are on the different side of the aisle from us. They're our enemies. Christ said to love our enemies. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Then he says this in verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection, and this is how you do it. You outdo one another in showing honor. It's almost like Paul is saying, look, you do this, go the extra mile. What did Jesus say? Someone wants your coat, give him your, no, he wants your shirt, give him your coat as well. Give him, he wants you to walk 1 mile, go 2 miles. We kind of did a reverse Halloween yesterday. We went, Margie and I went to watch Ridge's last soccer game. And 6-year-olds playing soccer is, I don't know what to call it. It's like bumper cars, and I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, little kids run around, they're kicking each other, and then when they knock each other down, they bend down and help each other up. I mean, it's the craziest thing you've ever seen. I'm going like, no, kick them while they're down, kick, you know. I'm like, you know, I have to reel it back, you know. But what we did last night, we went to Ingles there in Loganville, and we picked up a tin of moon pies. Okay, it's like moon pies, right? Now, my son-in-law is a postal carrier in the Loganville area, and one of the areas that he serves is like this whole assisted living, it's just like this old people community kind of thing. You go in there, and as soon as you pull in there, you start to smell mothballs. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, we pull in there, and Breckenridge get out of the car and with Shane, and they go up to this guy's house, and they knock on the door, and this 98-year-old man comes to the door, and he goes, well, hey, Shane. He goes, I'm sorry, boys. I just don't have any candy for you. And they said, no. We came to give you a trick-or-treat. And so they gave him this moon pie. And, of course, in my generation and older, moon pies are something special, you know? We know what the moon pies are. It was our generation's s'mores, basically, except you didn't have to burn stuff over a fire and it was all messy and gooey, but you had the chocolate, you had that marshmallow kind of thing, you had that kind of, you know, the graham cracker kind of thing. Anyway, the man started to tear up. And my grandsons get back in the car. He goes, man, that was, I want to do that again. So we went to another house. And then we went to another house. We went to 12 houses because we had 12 moon pies in the little case. And the kids had more fun and understood what it meant to bring joy to someone's life. That's what Paul is saying here. Outdo one another in love. Go overboard. Go the extra mile. Go outdo this. Then he says this. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. In other words, don't just go through the motions. Okay, I guess I got to be at church today because it's Sunday. Don't do that. Come because you want to be here, because it's a joy to be here. And those of you that are joining us online, come and be with us or join us online, but do it wholeheartedly. We serve an awesome God, and we need to be fervent and passionate about what he's called us to do and to be. Then he says this, rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation. Man, rejoice in hope. As Christ followers, we have been given a hope that the rest of the world doesn't understand. That's why when a loved one passes away in our family, yes, our heart is broken. There is a hole there, certainly. But we have a hope that we are going to meet again on the other side in the very presence of Jesus Christ himself. And that gives us hope that this isn't all there is. That this is not all there is. We have this hope. But then he says this, be patient in tribulation. Man, I tell you what, we are going through, 2020 has been a tribulation trail. You know what I'm talking about? And you know when it started? On my freaking birthday, y'all. March 17th, I go to the Atlanta United game. And at the Atlanta United game, on March 18th, the very next day, they said, everything shut down. I turned 60, y'all. That was a milestone, right? and it's turned out to be a kidney stone. It's the worst thing. You know, it's like, man, this is, I'm 60. I didn't know I was going to live this long. I mean, 60 when I was growing up, you know, I was like, hey, you know, like my mom, you know, she's just, Paul? Oh, hey, Mom. But the idea is, this is a year of tribulation. Has anything gone right? No. You couldn't get toilet paper for the first couple months, right? And then once you finally got some toilet paper, you couldn't get hand sanitizer to kind of get the stuff off of your hands. It was just messed up from the first, from my birthday, y'all. But Paul is saying be patient in tribulation. Why? Because we have a hope. We have good news. Here's the thing. In the middle of all of this, in the middle of this crazy election season where people are yelling and fighting and families are splitting up, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. In the midst of all that, Paul is saying, be patient in this because God is still on the throne. God is still working. If Biden wins, if Trump wins, it doesn't matter because God is still on the throne. He's still going to be in charge. Hold on to that. Be patient in the middle of all of this. And as Christ followers, we do that. We outdo each other in showing honor and love, and we are zealous for the Lord. And we are also patient during tribulation and being in constant prayer. Then he says this, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. How can I serve you? What can I do for you? One of the things that I always try to say when I'm talking to somebody is, how can I specifically pray for you? I mean, I don't want to just throw a general prayer like, Linda, I hope your bus drive goes well today. What can I specifically pray for you today? Where are you hurting? Where are you are missing? What is going on in your life? So, I mean, that's what the church is supposed to be. We come together and we love each other and we pray for each other and we urge each other on and we work shoulder to shoulder with each other. We continue to show hospitality. He says this, bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. That's hard to do. Listen to this. Bless those who persecute you. I don't think so. That's our human nature, y'all. What if Jesus would have been like that? From the cross, it's like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Imagine Jesus saying, look, I've had enough. I tried to teach these people. They're stubborn, stiff-necked people. That's what Moses said. It's what God said about the Israelites walking in the thing. They are stubborn, stiff-necked people. And that's what we are. But Jesus loved us so much, he willingly went and became brutally murdered on our behalf. And so someone calls us a name. Someone disagrees with us politically. Someone doesn't like the way we dress. Someone doesn't like this. Someone doesn't like that. What does it matter? Are we living in the fear of man so much that what someone's opinion of us is going to control our very existence? Some people live like that. I know some people that were on Facebook a while back, they were saying, I'm thinking about divorcing my husband. What do y'all think? What are you, like a show of hands? If I'm the husband and I'm reading that, I'm thinking like, you don't even have to worry about it anymore, honey. You know, I don't know. Do we want the world's approval? Because God is very, very clear in his scripture that the world is an enemy of God. This world is an enemy to God. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. As a community of faith, as we come together, we share with each other, we hurt with each other, we bleed with each other. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. You ever met those people? Yeah. Donald says it's me. Don't be haughty. Associate with the Lord. You know, don't think of yourself as important. You know, one of the things that's amazing to me is I was watching the debates, and I was watching, you know, well, I really didn't watch the debates. Every once in a while I'd tune in and see how many Tums I could eat in an hour. But the idea was some of these people act like they're God. In other words, I have all the power. I could do whatever I want. It's like, no, not really. You kind of work for me. Think about that. You vote for somebody, you put somebody in office, and they're supposed to represent you. So they work for who? You. I have a doctorate. Nobody calls me Dr. Cook. In fact, my kids in high school call me Dr. Cookie a bunch of times. I didn't appreciate that either. But, you know, titles, we're puffing ourselves up for what? For what? Our role as Christ followers is to love God with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. The second law is just like it. We are to love others as we love ourselves. And Christ even qualified it even more. He's saying, love others as I have loved you. To the point of giving up your life for somebody. To love others that much. Outdoing each other. It's like, oh, you think you're serving that person? I'm going to serve them even more. Can you imagine if Christ followers around the world lived like that? We wouldn't be going through half the mess we're going through now. Don't think of yourself as haughty, but associate with the lowly, and never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, he qualifies it because he knows it's difficult. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. All right, you Republicans, live peacefully with the Democrats. Democrats, you live peacefully with the Republicans. Nancy Pelosi, you live peaceably with Trump. Trump, you live peacefully with, is that going to happen? Not until Jesus comes back. We pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. And we look at them because they're in a microscope right now, but we live the same way. What about the people in our circle? That lady that cuts you off on the car on your way to church. You're all in them. You're singing like, Lord, I love you. I love you. Boom, boom. That's why I don't have a 3-point Bible sticker on my car. Because I may get fleshly sometimes. And I have to stop and do a checkup from the neck up and say, God, I am sorry. Because what is that person going through? They may be hurting. They may be, there may be something going on in their life. They may be in a bigger hurry than I am. And yet it just inconvenienced me. Well, then he goes into a whole section about avenging, 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 avenging. And says that the avenging comes from God. That's not our role. The scripture also tells us, lack of counsel or lack of vision, the people will perish. We seek counsel. We want God's word. What does God's word say about this? I bring people around my inner circle and I say, guys, you're praying for me on a daily basis, and I'm struggling with this in my life. And so I've got people with prayer warriors that are praying for me as we go through this. And so he ends this with verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You want to know how to do the best thing? Then you need to know Jesus Christ. You live your life like Jesus did. We become more Christ-like each day. We spend time in prayer. We're armed ourselves with all of the spiritual armor and everything, and we go out into this world, and I'm telling you, the minute you step out the door, you're going to be hit by the enemy's darts. Your children are going to make you mad. Someone at your job's going to say something or do something. It's going to try to pull you right back down into the muck and into the mire. And God is saying, no, no, no. And Paul is saying, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing good. You know, when we first took the boys out, they were like, what do you mean we're going to give out stuff? I want to get candy. And it's like, man, these kids have more candy than... And my job as a grandparent, I'll be honest with you, is to spoil my grandkids, and I'm really good at my job. And so what I like to do is I will give them Coke, and I will give them a bunch of sugar. And then me and Margie go home. I get phone calls in the middle of the night. Sometimes Breck will FaceTime me on his mom's phone at like 2 in the morning. Hey, Papa, what you doing? Well, you're not going to believe this, Breck, but I was sleeping. Do good. Do what's right. Do what's best. Why? Well, let's go back to Philippians. He says this, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. Why? So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Why do we do all of this anyway? It is for the glory and the praise of God Almighty. It's not to raise our status, but it's to bring glory to God Almighty. That's our role, folks. That's how we know what's best. So before you type out anything, before you say something, stop, take a deep breath, and think of those little things like, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Because a lot of times we want to put Jesus in our image. Oh, Jesus would say this. Jesus would do this. No, I don't think so. The minute we start to think Jesus is going to be like us, we're in trouble. We need to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Most Heavenly Father, as we just come into your presence today, Father, we just ask that you would give us the opportunity to be more Christ-like in our daily lives. Father, that we would live in love and that we would love people so much, even the ones that disagree with us, that are so far from you. Father, we want to pray for them. We want to embrace them. We want them to know the saving power and grace of a God that loved them so much. Father, I pray that you would give us opportunities, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.